to open the Wednesday, July 6, 2022 Communications Committee meeting. Could we have roll call?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Wonderful. I'd like to open the meeting right now for public comments. If anyone has a public comment, you now have 3 minutes to speak your piece. No one being on the line, we will close public comment and go on to C on the agenda, the draft minutes to be approved. Dean, I have a question for you here. Can we, instead of saying draft minutes to be approved so we have to vote every time, can we just do consent calendar and just say, is there anything on the consent calendar that you want to have taken off, or does it need to be this way?
I think since this is a committee, it needs to be this way. So we don't have a consent calendar for it.
Okay, do you want to?
I will motion to approve the minutes.
And I will second. There's no presentations to be given today. Communication update.
Supervisor Burgess's office is hosting a food safety class, and we're doing it here at the community center. For those people that want to have events and have food trucks and other things like that, they're going to teach you the ins and outs of how to do that. There is a flyer. We've posted it on our social media. We posted it on our Instagram, Facebook, and also on the website. Mm-hmm. So, and the supervisor's office is also promoting this as well. We've also reached out to the Lions Club and some other event people that do events in town, and we've sent them the flyer.
So we have, how many people have signed up?
I don't know the answer to that yet.
All right.
I can ask the supervisor.
No, that's wonderful.
Sure, yeah.
Speaking of Supervisor Burgess, at one of the last meetings, mm-hmm. they gave us that text to text and put Burgess in and to then start getting her newsletter. It's quite good and a lot of information. I'm sure I've got it on my old minutes, but it's quite lengthy, but there's a lot of good information in it that, you know, for any and all, so it's not just for the town, but I would suggest that everyone take a look at that.
Okay, wonderful, thank you.
All right, on to F, discussion items, town hall event recap.
Right, so the town hall event went well. I didn't receive too many responses from other board members, but one response was they thought it went very well and they would like to do it again. Another board member responded that they don't want to do it again. And then Director Graham, you had sent me a list of some things that you would like to change. So.
And I would like to do it again, absolutely.
Yep, and you would like to do it
again. Yeah, I think it's worthwhile.
Yeah, so those were the responses and the feedback that we got. Otherwise, it was quite positive. I think we counted about 25 people that showed up. So, it will only grow.
Oh, it will. It absolutely will. Okay. Would you like to talk about the Chamber of Commerce points of interest, Michael?
Yeah, so at the next chamber meeting, I planned on bringing this up to them because, as I think we've discussed before in here, believe that it should be sponsored by the chamber, mm-hmm. And then have the town as a resource to get some of the information. So at the next communications committee, I'll bring back information that I get from the Chamber of Commerce, and we can see if it's something that they have interest in, because I think it should be driven by their side. I don't think it's something that the town needs to take on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds good. Viewership stats for the website and social media?
Yes. So right now on Instagram, we have 190 followers. On Facebook, we have roughly 3,500 followers. On our website, in July alone, we have 915 subscribers and 17,611 website views.
Excellent. That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's so difficult. And Michael and I briefly talked about this recently, but in our town, since there's no main newspaper, there's no certain place to go for information, so you need to post here, 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 and here, and here. What Facebook sites do we post on? There's many discovery-based sites. Of course, we do the town one, but do we post, there's some that have 6,000, 7,000 people signed up. Can we not just post on the Facebook page of the town, but also...
Well, we don't own those Facebook sites. So I'm not sure I would just post on those. We're not members.
Yeah, you just sign up to be on them, and then you can post things there.
So I don't know a list of Facebook sites to look at. You know, and would they really want... Do they want the town to be posting things on those sites?
We'll get businesses due. I mean, if you look at it, and maybe what we could do is set up a time, and then we can go through and look at a bunch of them. But like the Chamber website, the Facebook page, you know, we could, I mean, what other sites can you think of, Michael?
So, I mean, this is obviously an ongoing problem is most of the events for the Chamber, the number one complaint is I didn't know that there was an event. And that's just a running problem. There's not a central newspaper anymore. It makes it very difficult. I know some of the sites that you're talking about. So what we need to understand is what are the regulations for sharing things officially? I know that individuals can, you know, take a link to what you put officially on the town's Facebook page, but is there regulations around if the town were to post something on a site that is not owned by the town?
Okay.
That would be the thing to understand. But I know that there's a couple of forums, Facebook forums for town events or things that are happening around here. And they have quite a few people on them. And I know that people do post a lot of event things there. But that would be the thing to understand is what are the regs?
It would. My concern would be public records, right? So when you're posting something on someone else's site and they comment, how do I keep that record and where am I going to put that? Because I don't want to create a problem.
Yeah, when you post it, post it and say no, you know, notification.
The problem is
people
don't follow directions.
Yeah.
I know, but they can't. You know, you set it up so that you... People can't comment.
Right, but it's not our site, so anyone could touch it and change it and manipulate it.
So
let's look at it. I think it's easier to deal with it.
I hate being the Debbie Downer of, what if. But obviously that's a problem. So it would be interesting to know if we just posted a link, do the comments under a link, does that constitute a public forum at that point?
Well, we have to be careful on the links. Does it fall within our duties?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have people that want us to have their link on our website.
100%.
Right.
I get them almost every day. And they go, no, we don't do that. We're not senior care centers.
Yes.
You know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gets really dicey, right?
Yes.
So that would be the only concern. So I guess that would be an interesting thing to find out from legal would be what is the ramifications of if someone were to share a link or in an official capacity.
How do we keep it as a public record on someone else's site, which we must if we...
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure this isn't new ground. I'm sure somebody has done this before. So.
Let me start with legal first. Okay. Why don't we do that? And see
make sure, I hate to say this, but make sure he's got a good understanding. Let me show you a few of them first, and then you'll get there.
Okay. All right.
What else? Anything else on...
On the statistics website? Nope.
No. Okay.
No, thank you.
So the next one is mine, and that's discussing whether we could ask or want to ask the board to send a letter to supervisors regarding short-term rentals. It is becoming more and more of an issue in the town. I've gotten a number of calls from noise, trash, parking, loud parties, and usually that's what they come out here for, sadly, is a big loud party. We're known as a close-knit community. I mean, that's one thing that people always talk about Discovery Bay is if anybody needs anything, the neighbors are there to help them. Well, if your neighbors are changing every weekend, it's, you know, we kind of lose what we have in our community. And again, it's parties, it's noise, it's using our resources, sheriff, highway patrol, whoever, when they're getting calls because of the noise and the issues. When people do apply for a permit with the county, on the permit, these are what the rules are. When they apply, there's a $388 fee. So when they apply, these are the rules, which, I mean, these are fabulous. You know, these are great. I mean, I wish the whole town had quiet hours between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., but we're not there. But in addition to the noise, they even include no amplification after 10 o'clock. But as long with the noise, the parking, the trash out here, because most of the rentals are on deep water, we have all the unsafe boating practices. I put something on Nextdoor a few weeks ago, and that was not something that I thought of. I've got probably 60, 70 responses, and then I had a number of people call me and send me, you know, people that didn't want their names to be out there, you know, got a hold of me to let me know what they're experiencing in their neighborhood. I mean, one small street has like 13, 14 short-term rentals every weekend. It's jam-packed, you can't park, it's noisy, it's a mess. One thing that was very surprising to me is in researching this a little bit, I found about 180 listings on VRBO, Airbnb, and others, other sites. Granted, I did not spend the time going through checking every address to make sure they weren't duplicates, but in talking with code enforcement, they said they figure we've got between 150 and 200 short-term rentals, and as of today, there's 24 permits. That's all that have been issued in and requested. Those are for pending and issued permits for short-term rentals. So it is becoming more and more of an issue. And what I would like to back up, also what they code enforcement has mentioned to me is what they normally do is if somebody has, they get a complaint, it says my neighbor is, it's a short-term rental, it's on VRBO, then they send a do not comply, you're not complying letter, and to get them to get a permit. And then if they don't do that, then they get fined. And what he said, what they are working on is stopping that first step, and just they get a complaint and they find out they don't have a permit, they're automatically going to get a fine. So I don't know what steps they have to go through, but that is something they're working on now. But I would like to ask the board, in light of all this, to put together a letter to go to Diane Burgess's office, increasing the penalties on owners to make sure it's much more than the permit, add in the state-required safe boating license, because that is a concern. It's kind of a ticking time bomb out here that somebody's going to run over somebody or you know, but they're already going too fast and having overloaded boats and such, and we get enough of that, sadly, as it is. And then also having a limit per street on how many we can have. I mean, many of our streets, if this continues, I mean, we're going to lose some of the charm we have in this town. Comments, Michael?
So, I guess, so your request is for the board to write a letter to the supervisor's office asking that they include more instruction in the...
Yes.
Okay. Does the town have an official position? I know we don't have jurisdiction, but does it have an official position on short-term rentals?
Okay, so I've been dealing with this since I got here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The town voiced its preferences when they did a road show to determine what kind of rules and regulations would be in a particular short-term rental ordinance. And there was a laundry list of choices, and there was some that we, additional ones that we brought to the table that we wanted to see in the ordinance. And they took all this on a roadshow, and this is what they came up with. So we had an opportunity for input. When this first started, and I wrote the first letter to them, advising them that there was a problem, one of the things that I told them is that we are probably the community in the county that is most likely going to have mass short-term rentals because we're golf course, we're water, it's homes on the water, etc. And that their fee should, a portion of the fee and the permit fee and the fines should come back to Discovery Bay because we are the ones that are suffering the impacts as a community, and it should go into our services in terms of recreation, etc. I was flat told never going to happen. It's going into the county general fan, general fund, and that's it. So that gives you a little history, but yeah, we've had an opportunity to weigh in.
I did speak with Don Morrow about a couple things, and I brought this up, and she was very open to getting our feedback. There, after what happened in Orinda, and the shootings, and other issues with short-term rentals, and Airbnb, VRBO saying, having that no party rule, which the parties continue to go on every weekend. I think now that people have experienced this, they might be willing to tighten things up. So, but I definitely want to hear your thoughts. If
well, I can show you the web. They know everybody's thoughts. There's things that we included. They can go back to our original feedback on the road shows. No. I don't have it.
Yeah, but don't you think it would be good to kind of refresh their memory? Because in speaking with code enforcement, they're really kind of shocked by all this.
And what?
That there's so many.
Really?
That there's so many. And, I mean, it's exactly what you told them would happen, and it's happening. So now that it's happening, can we tighten things up a little?
So would it be possible, because I think I understand what you're trying to get to. Would it be possible to have the board issue a request to the county to do a code enforcement on VRBOs and short-term rentals to at least check to see that everyone's permitted?
I asked about that. I said, do you all go and look at Airbnb, VRBO? And they said, absolutely not. We don't have the time to do.
Right, and they're going to stick to that, yeah. Unfortunately. But I believe there is a methodology, and this was brought to their attention, where I think certain VRBO sites, if my memory is correct, they are not allowed to process the rental until you have proven that you have a permit or somehow it's linked into the county itself.
Yeah.
In terms of a verification. So in other words, somebody would not be able, through the company itself, to complete the rental because of the way it's set up with the county.
Yeah, that may not be happening, though. I mean, if we only have 24 permits and there's that many, 150 to 200 short-term rentals being advertised.
Have you gone on any of the sites and tried to pull a listing of availability in this area and compared it to the permitted? Because permits should be public record, right?
Well, they should be, but there's not an easy way to do it. But the information that I'm giving you is from code enforcement,
okay.
Saying they have 24
permits.
Permits for Discovery Bay.
I'm just trying to understand, and I feel your pain. I definitely want us to try to see what we can do, but the thing I can't understand is what are we actually asking them to do?
Well, I would like feedback from everybody. And Mike, I know you have lived that. That was one of the first conversations you and I ever had.
Oh, no, there's...
You started, yeah.
There's one three houses around the bay for me.
I think, one, we should ask them to include people who need to have the safe boating license. And I'm probably not calling it the right thing. We teach the classes here. Because the majority of them that are rented out are deep water.
I understand that, but that becomes an enforcement issue that's a nightmare. Because they say, well, I'm not bringing a boat.
But
does everybody that attend have to have a safe boating license? just one person at the same
one one person that, and we do have some people that are very, I mean, they are very, very careful who they rent to. And one person responded to me and said she added that you have to have the state of California state boarding license.
We can ask for anything we want.
Yeah, and she said that her the number of people who wanted to rent her house dropped off a little bit, but she said she didn't care that because the safety is more important. I mean, we can ask. That's what we can do. And then also, the fines that are given, make sure that they're substantial. So I do not know what the fine is for having a short-term rental and not having a permit, but it needs to be more than the $388 that's being charged when you put in for a permit. And then, you know, it might be good to, you know, get the sheriff's input on some of this and see what their thoughts are.
Sheriff's Department will more than likely tell you, based on my experience, that if there's an issue, call us. But they're only going to deal with the, let's say, the parking, the drinking out in front of the house,
the actual criminal
things that would be, not because it's a short-term rental, because it would be something that you would call to if anybody was doing it on the property.
And as well, people should, but then they're taking away resources from our townspeople who may really need something six blocks away. And they're dealing with, you know, some big party from some people from San Jose, or, you know, just...
But that would still be, well, that's a problem. And they, and I believe that there is a fine if there is a repeat call to the same party.
Yeah, and yes, and they're, and they're talking about increasing that, that, the sheriffs would, who, was this on one of our calls? The sheriff, I can't remember. I've talked to so many people the last couple of weeks. Sheriff's teaming up with code enforcement to, so if they go to a house, then code enforcement take over because they can do much heftier fines than the sheriff's department can.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I just think, we know this is an issue. You know, I got contacted by many people. I mean, let's do what we can do. If, you know, the county says, sorry, this is it, then, you know, we have done what we can. We have tried, but this is, we're a small town, and to have this many short-term rentals is, could be seriously be an issue.
If you want to sit down with me and we can come up with some bullet points.
Love
today.
To, yeah.
We can put it on the board agenda, and we can ask them if the board wants to draft a letter with these bullet points. Mm-hmm. And then we can come back and draft a letter.
Okay, I mean, are you comfortable with that?
I'm absolutely comfortable with, I would like to revisit the idea that we get a portion of the, you know, if we're going to raise fines and penalties, they want to keep the permit fee fine, but the fine and penalty, we should get some of that because we're the ones that are suffering the negative impact.
So let's request it. Michael,
so
are you good?
Yeah, no, I absolutely.
Dina, are you good?
Yes, I am.
So,
okay.
So we'll come up with some, you and I will come up with some bullet points because I do have some experience in this, and then we'll bring those bullet points to the board, and if they decide they want to do a letter, then we'll draft a letter for the board president's signature. That's what the board
Excellent.
President feels
That's wonderful. Do we need to vote on this or no? We're
no.
good.
And I think it would also be to also include asking if they could do some sort of reconciliation on permits to listings. Because, I mean, it's easy to find listings. They should have permits, and they should be doing code enforcement. Just like if I went to go build a fence, I guarantee you they're going to show up at my house and ask me for my permit.
Okay, when we're done, I'll tell you.
Okay.
But then, okay, and just to last comment on this, the other thing that I'd like to see, Mike, is we look at, make sure there's no clusters like this one street where there's so many
that
of them.
That may be more, we can put it in a letter, but that's going to be an issue because, you know, I have the right to do, if you have the right to do it, I have the right to do it. Oh, no, we have too many here. Well, that's an unreasonable limitation on my property, so there may be issues.
Well, we asked, they... They'll say yes or no. So, but I feel bad for the people on that street.
Bit of a law.
Yeah. I know. Okay. Anything else on that topic?
No, I do think it's a good idea. I don't mean to be Debbie Downer.
Ned. Negative Ned.
That's right.
Okay, next is future by the pool board meeting. Is this me or you?
That is you. So I had a request from Dirk Graham at our town hall event that maybe have a board meeting out by the pool. I do have a concern with doing in the pool area. I think we would have to hire a lifeguard, and I would just be concerned with somebody slipping. But maybe that's something we can do, maybe sitting right there under the veranda.
Just anything to show off our brand new, gorgeous pool and let people know that we're having it out there. Mm-hmm. And I thought it might be kind of fun. And so I talked to Dina about it. She talked to legal and she looked into the recording issues and all that. And Mike, you got that look on your face.
Oh, I'm just coming up with some good ideas in my head. That's I think that there's. I have some good ideas. I'll share them.
I can put that on a future agenda item for the board meeting. Maybe when it gets a little cooler out,
yes.
We can do it outside.
Okay. Oh, I was hoping we could wait till it was like 105. Or
I know.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay. Any future agenda items you'd like to see added?
Not this time.
Okay, and with that, we will adjourn the communications committee meeting at 3:57 p.m.